is the man with the wisdom, with the knowledge, to change the whole makeup of the whole world. So sit back, open your ears, open your mind, and let truth come in. The Honorable Wallace T. Muhammad.
The merciful, may his peace and his blessings be upon Muhammad forever. Ameen. I greet you in the greetings of all the prophets, from Adam to Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum. We're very happy to be here today on a beautiful sunny day to keep moving in the path of progress, a progress that means salvation for the rejected of the world. The most rejected among all the rejected of the world has been and still is the black American. We have always we have news to give you. In the old days, the religious message was called news. And the gospel of Jesus was called the good news. And if a man stands up and says he has something from Almighty God to give the people, it should be news. And if it's not news, then he shouldn't say it's from Almighty God. What we have to tell each other might not be news. But certainly...
Other director at the time at Cal, Dave Magrid, back in 1982, that you were the right guy to be the head coach there, even though you didn't have any coaching experience on your resume.
Well, number one, I was on a committee, not necessarily... Well, I was on a committee to pick and find a new coach. They had made a decision. I was not part of any kind of decisions other than...
Not really giving us any news. And he can't really be a messenger or a man from Almighty God. We live in this part of the world under Christian rule for over three centuries. And finally, the message of Islam came to us. And for the first time, a message having news in it was entering our ears. Christ, born and crucified to save the world, that was a message that we were very much used to when the message of Islam reached us. And even when we received it as slaves in the South, it was already old news. Jesus brought it about 2,000 years ago. And when we first received it in the Southland as slaves, it was already about 1,700 years old almost. So that wasn't new. Or at best, it was old news. But we as a people, we were as much in need of fresh news from Almighty God as any people had ever been. We were in need of hearing God speaks to us to answer questions that only God can answer, if there is a God. Questions like, what happened to me that caused me to be separated from loving, kind, caring mothers and fathers. What has happened in my history to put me in America under slave masters who despise my very being? Who treat me as though I have committed some great sin or some great evil against them? Who hate my very presence? Who treat my skin blackness as though it was a curse or is a curse? These are questions that were formed into the minds of our fathers and mothers during the history of slavery in America. And no other people on the pages of human history had ever been as much in need of an answer from heaven as were our mothers and fathers during the bitter days of enslavement in the South. Now, I've often said, and I repeat it here today because it can't be said enough, if you have a claim to prophethood, if they have a claim to a personal savior, if they have a claim justifying them to be called the people that God spoke to and that God himself answered, then our claim is better. Our claim is stronger. After the Jews, there were the Arabs, who were found bickering with each other, fighting against each other, enslaving their women, worshiping males, and keeping only a limited number of females so the population wouldn't die out, and killing female girls, the girls at birth, in preference of male sons. But there is nothing in their history that makes them any more worthy of receiving an answer from divine source than the American slaves. No other people in history were robbed of their identity and made to accept themselves that they were less than human beings, and made to reject themselves as equal beings with others, made to hate themselves, despise themselves, so much so that they made physical effort to erase their identity with hair comb processing, hot straightening comb, bleaching cream, distorting, changing their speech to sound like Frenchmen or anybody else other than a black American. Nobody else has ever been turned against themselves and driven to hate and despise the very image of their own race. Nobody but the black American. So if cruelty and mistreatment, heartache, and suffering on the earth is what warrants a response from heaven, then God must answer the black American. If God doesn't answer the black American, then we are justified to say there is no God. If there is a God, he would have to answer the needs of the black America. No other people in the history of humanity were ever cut off completely from all traditional knowledge. There have been people who had their literature destroyed by the conquerors, had their literature burned up, and they had to go back once they got free enough to begin writing history again. They had to go back and collect their history again from memory. But in our case, it was hopeless. There was no way for us to get back in touch with our traditional knowledge, because we had been separated physically from our land and from our ancestors, and we had been raised as children to believe and accept everything that the slave master gave us. We were told who we are by the white man. We were told where we came from by the white man. That land was described to us by the white man. The people were described by the white man. Every ounce of knowledge came from the white man. No other people has a history like that but you and me, the black Americans. We are the only people, I repeat, that have been so firmly separated from their past and from their people that there was no hope of getting anything of their own unless it came to those who had conquered them. The Jews, they were taken off into captivity according to the Bible. And I say according to the Bible, there is no history except Bible to support the Jews' claim. All the Jews' claim rest on us accepting that they really are truthful people. And if we don't accept that they are truthful people, then they don't have anything to present to us. They say that they were taken into captivity, made slaves. But that history of their captivity also tells us that they kept their own knowledge. They remembered their God. They remembered their forefathers. They remembered their culture. So they weren't separated from their real strength. The real strength of a people is the knowledge of that people. And as long as the people can hold on to that knowledge, they have a saving source, or a saving power. But once they are separated completely from their knowledge, they have nothing to save them at all. Because people are made and destroyed by knowledge. I didn't come to you to calm you, to get you excited. I came here because we have news. We have news every day, every minute of the day. And it so happens that we are the favorite people on earth today, the black America. Nobody else has news but us. So if you want to argue with news, then you just help yourself. We don't have any time for argument. And we know that we don't have anybody to argue with. We are the only ones with the news. We are not prophets, but if we had been born 2,000 years ago, or 4,000 years ago, the people of those days would have readily acknowledged us as prophets. Why? Because that was a day and time that
knowledge such as the knowledge that we're given, if it was heard, it would be identified as revealed knowledge, our divine knowledge, our prophecy. Since the world is so grown today, and there's so much scientific knowledge in the world, and the revealed knowledge, too, has become universal, we don't refer to our message as the message of a prophet. We simply refer to it as knowledge, new, fresh knowledge, that is new. So try to relax and see if you can get some benefit from what we have to say to you today. What we have to offer, it doesn't come as a sermon or as a speech. It comes more as a lesson. A lesson that you would receive in school or in a college or university. It's a teaching. A teaching that has in it lessons for you and me. And if we learn these lessons, we will progress. We will become bigger and greater, mentally, morally, and spiritually. We have in religion a kind of history, our creation story, describing in detail the creation of the first man called Adam. The churches, and even the mosques, they have made the mistake of giving the people the impression that this Adam is the first man ever to walk earth, without explaining to the people what man means in Scripture. Scripture, Holy Quran, Bible, or any other Holy Scripture, when it talks about man or the creation of man, it is not talking about the creation of the physical person. We don't need God to reveal to us the story and the name of the first physical person that ever walked the earth. If that knowledge would come to us, what good would it be? How would it advance us? To tell us simply that the first physical person that ever was on earth was named John Brown. That's not telling us anything. Then to go and tell us how that person fell down from civilization or from moral uprightness. As a person, the story has no apparent benefit at all to us. The only thing we will get of benefit is the story of his fall, the lesson that we learn in the story of his fall from whatever high plane he was on. Well, his name, as a name, means nothing, and his physical person, as a physical person, means nothing. If religion, if Scripture is only talking about the birth of a physical man and his relationship with a physical woman named Eve, and some snake in a garden that came up to them and whispered evil into the woman's ear and caused her to break a divine law and bring the fall of her man. If this is all in the story, then there are many stories that are better written and have more to offer us than that story of Adam and Eve. Many such stories in the library of Asian, African, European, and all over the world, you'll find many such stories that offer more knowledge to us than that story. If we're taking it literally, but if it has other meanings, then maybe this story might be a supreme story. And the truth is, it has another meaning. And it is a supreme story. That's why the Bible has remained a number one book in the Western world since the day it was compiled, finished, and given to the Western world. And the Holy Quran has remained the number one book in the Muslim world. These religious books contain great knowledge, knowledge that is of vital importance to the survival of people, all people. And this knowledge is preserved in scripture for critical times in the history of people. So that whenever the community of a world is faced with danger that may mean the end or the destruction of their people, their wives can go back to the old knowledge of scripture and search it and come up with answers. They can find where the civilization has gone wrong. And therein is also the answers or the solutions to bring them back on the right track again. You may think that the ancient people, since they are people of an ancient age, ancient time, they are people of old days, you might think that their knowledge is primitive because it's ancient. You're wrong. The scripture contains old knowledge, ancient knowledge. But it doesn't contain primitive knowledge in the sense that you understand the word primitive. Primitive means from early times, and in the common language that we speak today, primitive means inferior, weaker, not developed. The scripture that we have as Bible and Quran is not the knowledge of primitive people. It's the knowledge of advanced people. Those who wrote came later, but those who gave the scriptural knowledge were men who had already become learned in physical knowledge and science before they came into scriptural or spiritual knowledge. We have misunderstood religion completely. We have completely misunderstood religion, and we have never seen rightly what a man of God is. We think a man of God is somebody who leaves the world, who runs away from money, scientific truth, and goes away and calls his ears to all the sounds of a real world and begins dreaming out in space somewhere and comes up with something completely foreign to what is real and comes back to the people and he says, "That's a prophet." No, indeed, that's a fool. have never done anything to help the real world. They're good for research. If you want to do some research, study into the nature of the mind under all kinds of strange and severe circumstances, then those people are good at studying objects. Psychiatry or psychology can come up with some information by studying those people. But when you want to go somewhere for guidance and leadership, don't go to dreamers. Go to people who stop dreaming because they have discovered something real to work with. And these are the people who became giants in religion. The history of Moses is not the history of a spooky magician. The history of Moses is the history of a practical man. Moses was raised in Pharaoh's house. He became learned in government. He became a builder. And God chose him. He didn't choose one of those men who didn't know anything about government, who didn't know anything about building, who knew nothing but dreams, who hated civilization, who feared wealth, who persecuted knowledge. He didn't choose one of those. He chose a man that had experience in nation building. And he chose that man to become a leader for people who didn't have experience in nation building. A people who had been cut off, though they were right in the nation. Physically, they were as much in the nation as Egyptians were. But mentally, they were outside of the nation of Egypt. The Egyptians wouldn't share with the slaves their knowledge. Because they knew to share their knowledge with the slaves would eventually mean to share their kingdom with the slaves, because knowledge is the key to the door of the kingdom. So God took Moses, a man who had experience in the management of the city, Greek metropolis, and the building of the city. He had experience in warfare. He called that man. Now, if a God from heaven was able to reach Moses, a general in Pharaoh's army, a builder in Pharaoh's kingdom, then that God must have had something to say to wise, industrious men that the God of Judaism and Christianity today just don't have on his card. We all see in the message of religion as it has been given until this very day. We don't see anything in the message of religion that it has been thrown from the mouth of rabbis and priests and imams. That have an attraction to it, to capture it to the attention of bankers, industrialists, city builders, generals of the army. They come to church to satisfy their supporters. And they sit there like they are an outsider. And the preacher or the priest or the rabbi or the imam thanks him for coming and acknowledge his presence. We have here Dr. So and so. A chemistry. We have here Mr. So and so. President of such such and such great bank. We have here great mathematicians. We have here a captain, a general of honor. We would like to acknowledge his presence today. Why? Because he's not supposed to be there. Known for the well-do. It would soon be destroyed, and a new world would come in. We didn't understand what we were being told. We had been trained to think as children think. That everything people talk about is something that can be picked up with the hand and seen with the physical eye. So when the end of the world was preached to us, we thought it meant that God was going to burn up the physical ground. God's going to burn up the dirt. He's going to set the ocean on fire, you know. We didn't know that the world of men is not a world that you pick up with your hand. The world of human beings is a world that you pick up with your ears. And it enters through your ears into your mind and forms a mind over your own mind. And that mind becomes your mind. And since you live in your mind's world, you become a dweller in that world. And if that happened to all men and women, then all men and women fall under a grasp on an artificial world. And that's the world that the Bible has talked about, a world that's doomed. And that's the world that Donald Elijah Muhammad preached again. He said it's doomed. It has to be destroyed. In the physical world, we see fire as something that is powerful to destroy things. We can take something and destroy it with an axe. We can destroy it with a hammer. We can destroy it with water. But nothing brings about a more thorough or a more complete destruction of physical things in the physical world than fire. So the wise men of religion, they only use fire to tell you how thorough and how complete the destruction of this rapid world would be when it comes. The soul has never done anything wrong against God. The oceans and lakes have never done anything wrong against God. Trees and animals have never rebelled against God. Why could God destroy the earth? It's the mind of men that has acted against truth. It's the mind of men that has acted against justice and righteousness. And have brought the world in a state of hell, confusion and ignorance. To write this, someone has to come back and renew the minds of men. And once the minds of the people are renewed, giving new life, new thought for their knowledge to grow in, new life, a new sun to see the growth of that knowledge. Once that new world is brought about in the minds of the people, then a new growth will start in the earth. Did ye all witness it? I'm preaching to their people that something is going to happen that's going to change the physical world. The earth is going to become new. The water will become pure. The air will become pure. Aging in us will stop. We'll take on a new physical growth. We'll be youthful forever. Well, let me tell you something, you synagogue children of Jehovah Witness, of the Jehovah Witness kingdom. We are doing that right now. Proper words, then you have the right knowledge you can see right, your vision of the physical world is made new. Not that that stays out there, but something is changed in here. A man on the desert who's suffering, thirst, lust the sand, and will put it in his mouth, taking his water. Nothing has happened to the sand to make it look like water. Something has happened to the man that has made the man see sand as water. We are here to build the world all over again. We are here to make the world new. We are here to make you youthful again. Youthful eternally. Do you think the Bible is only talking about death? That's the limit of children's minds. When the Bible is talking about youthfulness and production, it's talking about industrial youth. Industrial production. When a people come out of early development and grow from farm, from agricultural life, from the knowledge of farmers, to the knowledge of city builders, and then fall back down because of a loss of contact with true knowledge, they cease to be city builders anymore. Cease even to be farmers anymore. Then they need God to come to speak to them and wake them up out of the dead ground and start them to being farmers again. And raise them up from the agricultural people again to city builders. In other words, knowledge has to come to them from a true source to turn the wheels of their intelligence over, turn them to operation again. When the wheels of their mind stop turning over, you begin to die, and that death shows up, the effects of it, begin first in the physical. Just as when a man physically dies, the first sign we see of his death is in him physically, right? If his life goes out of him, he physically looks dead. And gradually his physical body begins to decompose, and we say the man has rotted away, right? These physical things, brothers and sisters, are only signs of a higher knowledge. The scripture tells us that everything in the physical world is a sign. What does sign mean? What is a word from a man or a woman's mouth to my ear? A sign, or is a sign, from the originator or from the God who created the heavens and earth in the universe. From your mouth, I hear words. And these words signal some meaning to me. From God's mighty power of creation, I see worlds. Sun, moon, stars. Life of many kinds. Wind, water, earth. I see all of these things. Things came from the originator of the heavens and earth. And these things in themselves are words from Almighty God. You speak to me with breath. The breath of God are the objects that hold in the space. And those objects are words from the Creator. And they tell you much more than any word coming from the mouth of a physical, flesh and blood individual. This was the first knowledge that came to the people. The scientist now, he feeds upon that. He established himself upon that. He says, I establish my knowledge upon the physical creation. And I don't speak guesswork, I speak science.
He says, "This wall speaks to me. This star tells me something. This piece of iron tells me something. This bit of mercury or this bit of sulfur tells me something. The light ray tells me something. The heat tells me something. Magnetism tells me something. A little amoeba tells me something. This is the scientist whose knowledge we see in this structure, whose knowledge we see in the building of the city, whose knowledge we see in the colleges, whose knowledge we see in industry. This is knowledge we don't have to talk of. This is knowledge we see and live by, living in every day. And the scientists say he got that knowledge by studying what God put here.
Yeah, it's life or its development. It has to get water from out there, because it is part water too. Is that right? It has to get food, physical things from out there, because it's part physical too. So it has to eat from the ground and drink of the water. It has to feed on the light of the sun, which is another physical body of fire. Is that right? All right. So God has, by nature, forced me to stay in contact with the physical creation. So what now can happen to my mind that makes me think now this physical creation is sinful and unholy? And I have to break my connection with it in order to get in touch with God. No, the road to God is a physical road. You first find God by following the physical. Then in following the physical, you come to something that is a higher form of the physical. That's a body of knowledge that reveals to you the nature and inner working of the physical. This higher knowledge, without you coming in contact with any religious person, this higher knowledge will make you see that there is still another higher knowledge. There's a purpose behind this thing. There's an explanation for this systematic, complex creation. That knowledge brings us into the knowledge of creator, originator, planner, developer, you see, fashioner and designer. So we come now face to face with a unique being who has from himself manifest all these other things. Then we come to that high plane we call prophetic plane, the prophet, the plane of the prophet, the plane of revealed knowledge. But we don't reach it by jumping off the earth. We reach it by digging into the earth. Study what you got first. How can a man come into the college class if he's going to throw out the elementary school? The elementary school is a step. It's a platform. It's a pole. It's a foundation. It's a firmament. In the language of the Bible, the elementary school is a firmament for that student to stand upon to reach up to a higher firmament. You're not better out from under him, you'll never reach. He'll fall below even the first level. Is that right? So the object of religion in our day and time, especially for us, has been to knock the firmament out from under us. To disconnect us, to disassociate us from first thing. First thing first. And in doing that, what they did was separate us from reality. And they held us, contained us in a world of superstition, dreams, vain imagination, wild flavor. This is the strongest temptation, prison camp, cell, whatever you want to call, something that's designed to hold a man down and to limit his travel, his activity. Nothing can be designed to do a better job of making a man a slave and containing him than ideas that are foreign to reality. If you take on ideas that are foreign to reality, you finish. You can live on earth and never touch the ground. You can eat at a rich man's table and never know the value of the food you're putting in your mouth. You can sit in the highest halls of learning and come out with the greatest degree and never know the value of the knowledge or the degree that you receive. You'll be nothing but a walking shell. No more than a physical dummy that has been programmed to give out what was put into it. But with no ability to examine what was put into you and map out your own future movement. Knowledge is to open up the way of freedom to you, brother and sister. The more knowledge you come into, the more freedom you should have within your grasp. If a man becomes wise in knowledge, then he should be able to do those things for himself that otherwise men do for themselves. But in our history behind us, we have been a people that have come into the same knowledge that others have who rule the world. But we have not been able to do anything for ourselves other than put ourselves at the feet of those that rule the world to serve them against the well-being or the welfare of our own community. Why? Because we were not taught. We didn't learn anything. We rehearsed something. We just took in something and gave it out just as we received it. And we didn't even know the original form of that we received. In order to really have knowledge, you have to have the earlier forms of that knowledge. So I said, brought me in, I said again, these people who boast that they're so wise, they don't even know their alphabet. They don't. Why they don't know their alphabet? Because they don't know how the alphabet is formed. They don't know how the alphabet was originated. To them, an alphabet is something that fell out of heaven. So they don't know their alphabet. Since they don't know their alphabet, they don't know words. They only speak words, but they don't know words. If black people in America knew words, they would get down off of silk and throw away those big umbrellas and come out of that pussy looking dress they wear and then begin to act like normal people. We have been separated from reality. And the only way to rise into power or to grow now, we have to come back and get in touch with reality again. We have, in the language of the Nation of Islam, the term or expression original man. And we have a question we ask as a kind of catechism for the students in Islam here in North America. We ask the question, who is the original man? The answer is, the original man is the Asiatic black man. The owner, maker, cream of the planet Earth, father of civilization, god of the physical universe. Man, oh man, what kind of catechism you all have over here? We have one that puts us back in touch with reality. We don't even answer the question in the Christian language because it speaks so much. Everybody knows it. Who is the original man in church language? Adam. Who is Adam, the first man? And what does that have to do with the religion? Well, it means that sin started with the first flesh. Eve made him bite the apple. And when did the symbol for sex become an apple? Well, we don't know. Using the language of paganism and calling yourself Christian. Your pope, your bishop, your preacher, all of them have been tricked. Some old Yahoo Jews who never accepted the truth from their prophet through an artificial religion on all. And you have come up as little children in the house of fools. You got preachers? Like to the God. Who will go to Africa? Who will go to prominent countries? He might even go to
what
Muslim.
Do we mean by original man?
I don't think he's interested in going to the Muslims.
We mean original man.
But that is the person who will come here. That arrives naturally. We don't fear. To me, that has not been artificially. If my tongue wasn't